Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31 is about old men and their glory. Let's read the proverb and then you can hear for yourself. The hoary head, that's a gray head, that's a white-headed man. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. Well, then what are we speaking about here? Well, an older man's gray head is a crown of glory to him under one condition. He must be in the way of righteousness. And then that gray head will be his glory. It'll be a crown to him. Now, when you think of men that have already grayed, in other words, they've come to an age now where the hair has changed color and it's got that white, that silvery, that gleam to it, his gray head suggests some things to you. And the first thing that his gray head suggests to you is that this man has wisdom because he's lived the years. He's got wisdom. And that wisdom he has is there to give younger men. You know, one of the reasons that I've always enjoyed making friendships with men that were older than I am, men that were hoary-headed, is that there's so much to learn from those who have experienced so much more than we have. And I always found that a great privilege and a great delight. One of my dear friends, I never calculated it, but he was like 39 or 40 years older than I am. He's dead now. And so really and truly, it was quite remarkable that we had the kind of friendship that we did, because our friendship was like the friendship that you would have among brothers, among peers. And yet, truthfully, had he had his first child at 20 and had that child had me at 20, he was old enough to be my grandfather, because he was 40 years older than I was. Now, this fella and I made really good friendship, but we enjoyed a lot of time together just shooting the breeze, and I would listen to him, and I'd ask him questions from time to time. And I'm just going to give you a little of what he gave me, okay? There are many, many other things that could be said, but this message today is not about what he said. This message is about the Word of God and the fact that an older man, when he grays, can enjoy a crown of glory in that hoary head if he is found in the way of righteousness. Now, one of the things he said is this. I asked him, he had a lot of partnerships when he was doing business, and I asked him, how is it that every partnership you were involved in turned out to be a success, and how is it that all of your partnerships survived? Because it's hard for people, you know, to partner with other folks sometimes. Things break up and lawsuits and all that kind of thing. He said he didn't even hesitate. He said, that's easy. I always did what they wanted to do. Now, that takes a man with a great deal of character for two reasons. Number one, he's got to be able to choose partners whom he can trust. That's one thing. So he's got to be able to trust them, but he's got to be a good measure of a man's character, you see. That's a great thing. The second thing is, he had to be the kind of person that was able to go along and trust the business decisions of his partners and reap the benefits of their decisions. I always did what they wanted to do. So if you're the kind of guy that likes to get into partnerships, if you're not willing to go along with them, then you're going to have trouble in your partnerships, and you might be better off just being a sole proprietor or going to the bank and borrowing some money to get involved in it and run the thing by yourself. Another thing he said, see, his gray head suggested wisdom. Another thing he said, when I was learning to play tennis, I was in my 20s, he was in his 60s, he was telling me how to play tennis, and he hadn't been playing very long. And since I was young, I wanted to crush the ball, you know. I wanted to get up there and run up and hit it as hard as I could, and I didn't care about placement, and I didn't care about anything. I just wanted to hit it hard and make it harder for the other person to hit it back. He played more like a backboard. They'd hit to him, and he just lob it back over, and they'd hit to him, and he'd lob it back over, and he said, you know, old pal, he said, just keep it in the green. Our tennis court was green, and everything that was out of the court or off the court was red. Just keep it in the green. In other words, let them make the mistake. You know, there's a lot of truth in that. That riddled principle right there would guide you well in anything, like in investments. I remember one time reading a book called How to Win the Loser's Game. And the point of that book was that getting in a market like a stock market is a losing proposition unless you just play conservatively and try to do just a little bit better than when the market does. You won't be knocking any home runs, but you won't be suffering any great losses. And the guy likened that investment strategy to a tennis match. He said very few points in club tennis are won by actual winners. They are usually won because the other fellow made a mistake. Keep it in the green. Man, I'll never forget that, you see. That gray head suggested wisdom, and he had it. Partners, I always do what they want to do. Tennis, keep it in the green. What about friends? I never found anybody that said a cross word about this guy. They always had complimentary things to say, and I always wondered how that could be. But he had a philosophy of life, and he said, partner, he said, it doesn't cost a nickel to be nice. In other words, I don't have to pay a dime to win these kind of friends if I'm nice to them. And you know something? There is a tremendous amount of truth to that. So many people are so interested in what they can get off of another person, and every friendship is expedient, and they work a guy until they worked him down, and then they go work somebody else. Kind of like, I don't know, it sort of feels like a corrupt politician, you know. He just said it doesn't cost a nickel to be nice. And, you know, he was a nice fella. He treated his friends with a great deal of respect, and he was very nice to them. He suffered a tragedy in his life. He lost his wife to a tragic thing. It was a murder. It was a terrible thing. He was able to remarry and married a lovely lady. And I spent a lot of time with him before he passed away. I'd go to see him. He'd be there lying in bed. He was bedridden. I'd just jump up in the bed and we'd talk. And he said, you know what? I have no regrets and I have no complaints. That's wisdom. You know what that said? That's a man that went through that great tragedy and got over it and moved on. You say, how could he do it? Remarkable character. But what he realized is that if he dwelled on that thing, it would kill him. As a matter of fact, while he was mourning the loss of his wife, he told a friend, he said, I can make it now. It was after several days of mourning, but he said, I can make it now. I can make it now. I'll go on. Well, he had come to a resolve, you see. And then he was able to say in the last year of his life, no regrets and no complaints. That's a tremendous thing. You know what his gray head suggested? It suggested wisdom, and wisdom was there. It was there. I had a great uncle of mine. I won't bore you with all the stories, but this shows you why we look to a man with a gray head and crown him with glory, because we know that he has wisdom if he's in the way of righteousness. See, if he's lived by the right ways. And we crown him with that glory because we know that there's wisdom in there for us. I had a great uncle of mine, and I had a relative that was in trouble. It involved drugs years and years ago. And my uncle had found out about this thing, and he said to me, we'll help him. I said, how are we going to do that? He said, well, we're going to stand at the bottom of the stairs and catch him when he falls. In other words, we're not going to interfere, but there's going to come a day when this thing is going to come to an end. It's going to take its toll. And when it does, we'll be there for him. In other words, we're not going to cut him off. And we're not going to isolate him and ostracize him because of what he's involved in. This is a terrible thing he's involved in, but when he's ready to recover from it, we'll be there for him. We'll stand at the bottom of the stairs and catch him when he falls. You don't ever want to forget that, because you're going to have family members and you're going to have friends who are going to disappoint you with some of the things they're involved in. And they may not always be involved in those things, and you want to make sure that you keep enough of an open door that when they fall, you can be there to catch them. These men are crowned with glory for their wisdom because we still hold them in such high regard. But I'm going to tell you something. If that fella that's an older man that has the gray head is not in the way of righteousness, then his gray head is a trap. It's not a crown. It's a trap. He'll use that to gain your confidence only to destroy you. I'm reminded of the old prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13. After the young unnamed prophet had gone to prophesy against Jeroboam about the destruction that was coming to his kingdom and to the altar upon which Jeroboam was sacrificing. And the old man lied to the young prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13 verse 18 and told that man to come back and eat with him when God had told that young man not to do it. He lied to him. He used his age to gain the confidence of the young man to lead him astray. And let me tell you something. That young man was destroyed as a result of what that older man had done. That was a trap. There should have been no glory given to the head of that old man because he was a lying old prophet. And he destroyed a young man who put confidence in that gray head. There are men like that. Let me tell you something. Just because every hoary head is hoary, just because every gray head is gray, doesn't mean that it should be crowned with glory. If it's not in the way of righteousness, it ought to be. You ought to run from it. It's a danger. It's a trap. All right, now another thing about the gray head, about the old men and their glory. His gray head suggests not only wisdom, but maturity. Maturity. Look with me in Titus chapter 2, verse 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 2. All right, Titus 2, 2 says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. All right, sober. So he's not given to frivolity. He's not given to wine. Grave, looks a little bit more like the undertaker. Temperate, he's moderate. He doesn't play the extremes. He walks the middle. Sound in faith, in charity, and patience. You know what? I love having gray-headed men in the church. I do. I mean, I love having the kids, too. We got a bunch of young folks, and we got a bunch of kids, and babies and all that kind of stuff. Oh, that's great. People say to me that the youth are the future of our church. And there's a certain amount of truth to that. But I'm going to tell you something. I like having the gray-headed man in there. You know why? Because they're the backbone of the church. If the youth are the future of the church, the old men are the backbone of the church. Because without the aged men, young men have no example to follow of men who have gone through the trials of life and survived still serving the Lord. And you got to be able to see that. You got to be able to see the weathered man stand there with all of his faith and all of his charity and all of his patience, not deterred in the least by the things that he has had to survive in life, and he's still happily serving the Lord. They're crowned with glory because they educate us about our biblical heritage and about our life in Christ. They're men that have come out on the other side, and we can say, see, we can do that too. Listen. There's so much difference between the maturity of a gray-headed man that is the backbone of a church, who's sober and grave and temperate and sound in faith and charity and patience, and an old drunk. There's such a difference. Now, if you've been around life any length of time and tried to make friends with men that are older than you are, you've come across these kind of guys. I'm thinking of a fellow right now, won't mention any of these guys by name, but he was an old drunk. And he wasted his business. He had a nice inheritance, and he wasted it. He made stupid decisions and careless decisions. He wouldn't be the backbone of anything. It was destruction to be around him. Anybody that tried to follow him found that he was dealing with an immature child. He wasn't sober, grave, and temperate. He was given to heavy drinking and to unsound business practices. And he just made a wreck of things. He was just an old drunk and, you know, lost his wife, and he's just a disgrace. There's certainly a lot of difference between a faithful man and a charitable man and a patient man who's mature and an old reprobate. I can remember people that I've met along the years that were just old reprobates. They cussed. They told filthy stories. As old men, they still got in fistfights. And there was no redeeming value to them at all. There was nothing that they could give to a younger generation to help us escape some of the pitfalls of life. We laughed at them. They were comedians. They told stories and we thought they were funny. But really we were laughing at them more than with them, because it was sad to see the condition of their lives. Or such a difference between a temperate man in his full maturity crowned with glory and an intemperate man. I can remember disgusting stories about one gray-headed fellow. And actually he was a very handsome man and a very successful man. But he was just an old intemperate fellow. He drank too much, and he was unfaithful to his wife, and people that knew him knew it about him. But not the kind of life you would want your children to emulate, not the kind of life that you would want to emulate yourself at all. You wouldn't want to follow that thing down the street. Men that lack faith and charity and patience. I'm thinking of a fellow that I witnessed to. He had none of those qualities. He hated God. And it was a terrible thing. Successful at business, but he was a cantankerous old man. He had no faith. He had no charity. He had no patience. The only thing that could cause him to get along in life is that he would keep himself propped up with the drink. And he was very successful in business, but Not the kind of man you'd want to follow in anything. You know what these men that I'm thinking of, their gray head was just a sad reminder of the coming toll of sin. They were crowned with shame, not with glory. And I don't say that with any delight. I don't say that with any glee. I'm not even happy to say those things. I only say those things as a clear warning to us. Your gray head may suggest maturity, but if you're not in the way of righteousness, later, when you're gone, they'll say bad things about you because you won't be there to defend yourself. And they've thought those things all along. It's sad, really. It's very sad. I'll tell you something else about the gray head of an old man. His gray head suggests fruitfulness. Look in Proverbs chapter 17, which we're coming up on. Proverbs chapter 17, look at verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men. In other words, your grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. So a man that's gray-headed and has children, there's a crown there. I think of many relationships where a gray-headed dad is still alive and the children and the grandchildren are still around. Man, I'll tell you, when I see them together and I see the children, there were two, and the grandchildren, I think there must be, five. There, man, I'm telling you, that's a beautiful thing, that fruitfulness of that family. It's a crown of glory for a man to have children, to raise them in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord, to train them in the way that they should go, and then to watch them marry and have children of their own. That is a beautiful thing. And that gray head suggests fruitfulness. And I don't know, you know, it's like those family portraits when you see the grandparents and the parents and the grandchildren all in the portrait. That thing is a real family portrait. You know, I was just looking the other day on Saturday, as a matter of fact, I was just looking at a picture of our two youngest daughters. I think the second to the last was probably three and a half or four. The other one was 1.5 or 2. And they were sitting together arm in arm, I mean, hugging each other in the water on North Beach. And both of them had the biggest smiles on their faces that you could imagine. They were laughing with all of their gusto. It was absolutely a picture that just captivated the joy of childhood, of the beach. It's priceless to me. And as I was looking at that picture, I was also thinking, you know, those days are memories now. Those days are gone. Those girls are grown. We won't see that picture anymore. But then I thought, you know what? We will. We will get to relive those days when our children marry and have children, and the grandchildren are in the same water doing the same thing. And you know something? When I think about that, I think, you know, this is a great thing. It is a great thing to be graying and to have children who are going to bear children and know that these children have been raised the right way, and hopefully they'll continue to live the right way, so that the grandchildren will grow up the same way the kids did. Except you know that the relationship between children and grandfathers is unique. Some sons ask their dads, how come you didn't raise us the same way you're raising our children? You know, so there is a little bit of difference, and I can assure you those grandchildren are going to get spoiled a whole lot differently than the children did. One of the main things that I remember from my grandfather is the need to maintain a good sense of humor. You see, as we age, things sometimes get a little bit more pessimistic, a little bit more paranoid. And my grandfather reminded me, even way up in his years, you got to maintain a good sense of humor. And he did. He lived to be way up in his 80s. 89, I believe. I remember one time after he had been chairman of the board of a bank for many, many years, they got ready to promote him. And so they said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to make you honorary chairman. And we really don't know what to call you. We're going to give you a choice. Do you want to be called honorary chairman or chairman emeritus? And he giggled and he said, I want to be called that first one, that honorary chairman. Took that honorary and turned that thing and made it honorary. He said, I'll be that honorary chairman. Now, that seemed like no little deal there, but that's a humorous thing because this is a difficult time. You know, they're wondering, how do we put this guy out to pasture where we let some younger man come in here and be the chairman of the board now and really get this thing running? You know how those things go. He said, just let me be the honorary chairman. And he'd still go to the meetings. He was very faithful to do that. And he could sometimes reflect on the history of a particular family whenever they were trying to make a loan decision. It helped a lot of times in evaluating the character of the borrower. That little humorous thing there will always stick with me, and many of the other things that he said. Another thing that I'm reminded of concerning my my grandfather that causes me to crown him with glory, even though he's gone now, is that he was a man of integrity. It reminds me that I need to be a man of integrity, a man of my word. Because he grew up in the generation where when you shook hands with a man and committed to a deal, you did the deal, regardless. So if a man is in the way of righteousness, his descendants are more likely to be saved. And if he's an old reprobate and he's in the way of unrighteousness, those children are more likely to be a bad lot. And I think of people now that I've buried. I've done a number of funerals, many funerals, as a matter of fact. And I've had the opportunity to bury the granddad, and I've had the opportunity to bury the children and even some of the grandchildren. And some of them, I mean, they're just princes. And some of them, well, some of them are a bad lot because they weren't in the way of righteousness. And that's a sad thing. His gray head suggests beauty. His gray head suggests beauty. His gray head suggests wisdom, maturity, fruitfulness. If he's crowned with glory, it will suggest beauty. Look in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29. And I know when you think of a gray-headed man, he's got dandruff all over his black suit and his hair seems to be a little unkempt. You don't see beauty, but it's a different kind of beauty. Proverbs 20, verse 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head." You see, when a man is young, it is great to see his strength and vitality, to see him compete as an athlete or as a man who, with his strength, can do great labor. That's a tremendous thing, see a guy put in a full day of manual work like that. But when he's older, his natural strength it's going to fail him in the normal course. Caleb in the Old Testament was an exception. But does that mean that the old man is finished just because he can't work as hard as he did when he was a kid? No, it's not. It doesn't mean that at all. Instead of glorying in his natural strength, men glory in their gray head. Have you ever noticed that so many portraits of men are of men after they have grayed? You ever notice that? I mean, there are portraits of the young men, but a lot of the portraits, the ones that people like to admire, the man's already got his gray head. You know why? Because there's a look of accomplishment and a look of stature that young men just don't have. And that's the beauty of the old men. It's that look of accomplishment, that look of stature there. Something that a young man can't have till he's done with his strength and now he relies upon his wisdom. I mean, truthfully, you don't think of an old man as a beautiful man when compared to the beauty of his daughter or his granddaughter. But there is beauty there. It's the beauty of his demeanor, capped by his gray head. When a young man sees that, it instills in a young man confidence. It instills in a young man authority, and he'll respect that gray head, particularly when that head is crowned with glory. It instills in a young man the aspiration for success because he looks at that and says, if that old man can have done that, then if I put my brain to it and I watch what I'm doing carefully, I'll be able to accomplish that too. It's the aspiration for success. He sees in that old man a sense of stability. Here's a man that weathered the storm, and the storm didn't get him. It instills in the young man the desire for the accumulation of knowledge, because what he sees in that gray head that crowns that man is that man has learned some things over time. It's not just his wisdom, but he's accumulated knowledge. He has just been around a long time to see and to have known a lot of things. It's like you can go to him for counsel and be sure that when he has spoken to you, he's given you exactly what you need to solve your problem or your concern. That's what that gray head suggests. And that thing that you see there is beautiful. It's beautiful. It goes beyond his countenance. It goes deeper to what that crown of glory looks like upon that head and everything that it suggests about where that man has been and what he's done. Now, all of this depends upon him being in the way of righteousness. A gray-headed man who is not in the way of righteousness can be nothing more than an old cantankerous fool, and nothing about his gray head is beautiful at all. I'm reminded of a funeral, not one that I did. I'm reminded of a funeral. And the children came. I was there. I was at visitation. And the children came from out of town, and one of the siblings came. And not the sibling of the fellow in the casket, but one of the sibling of the children that were already there came. And there were a few comments being made about the fellow in the casket. I, for the life of me, cannot even remember who it was, and I think it's just as well, you know. But I will never forget what the child said. He was a grown man that came, but I'll never forget what the child said. There were some well-wishers there, and they were saying, oh, we're going to miss him and all that. And that child, that man said, I'm glad that he's gone. He was an old fool. He was not a good father. He treated us like dirt. And now we're compelled to want to say something nice about him because we're around our friends and he's gone. But the truth of the matter is, he was not a nice man. He was not a righteous man. And I'm glad that he's gone. Well, when he sort of broke that ice, the rest of the children chimed in. They were being nice for the sake of those that were visiting, but the truth of the matter is they felt exactly like he did, and they were glad that he was gone. What a sad, sad commentary on a man's life. But you know what the problem was? His children knew him, and they knew that that old head did not represent a man that died with a crown of glory, but rather a man that died like an old fool. Let me tell you something. You don't want to die that way. When your head turns gray, if it's not gray already, and your children are gathered around, you want them to be able to crown you with glory as they say things about you that are true and that memorialize you and eulogize you in the appropriate way. And they'll do that if you will abide in the way of righteousness. Seriously. You say, how do I do that? You're not too old to get saved if you're lost right now. I'm serious. If you're a man without Jesus Christ, and you want to die in the way of righteousness, you want to grow old in the way of righteousness, take Jesus Christ as your Savior and follow what he says in the Bible, and you will be crowned with glory by those that remember you for your beauty, because an old man who's saved has a beautiful countenance that cannot be compared with any other living creature on the earth. Because of your fruitfulness, they'll be happy that they're your children. Because of your maturity, because they will have recognized in you real leadership for an older man to trust Jesus Christ as his Savior, and for your wisdom, recognizing that Jesus is the best way for a man to live, and to follow his words is the best way for a man to live. If you're in the way of righteousness, that's how you'll be crowned. And if you're not, get in the way of righteousness now and live that way till you die. It's never too late to straighten up the mess. Otherwise, you just die as an old fool. And that's a sad, sad case. Don't let it be that way. Don't let it be that way at all. If you've got an older gentleman in your family and he's due the crown of glory because he's lived in the way of righteousness, you've run in your own stupidity, you make sure that he knows that you recognize what the Bible recognizes about him, and you give him the respect that's due him.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.